Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning Ashari Lichta Gechanaka to all this fourth night of this holy Yom Tov of Chanukah. We are learning the Zecher Nishmas and Lului Nishmas and Miriam Frund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom. May the Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the Schos of the Torah we will share this evening. And of course, we thank the Frund family very much for their continued dedication and sponsorship of this weekly Shir, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother. So I have prepared a special Chanukah Shir for this evening. In honor of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, but it relates very much to our learning and the topic of Emunah and finding Hashem in the darkest times, as you will hear. I'm going to be really teaching a very, very beautiful Chiddush piece that I myself had never even learned through before. It took me a while to chop the insight, and I wasn't getting it. And then we lit Chanukah candles, and I said, Hashem, please help me. And it's really very beautiful. So we're going to go there. I'm first going to start, actually, in Sefer Devarim, okay? In Parachof of Sefer Devarim, in Parsha Shoftim. So the Pasuk tells us, Ki sei sei la mechama aloi vechav, when you go to war against your enemy, v'ra'isa sus v'rechav amrav mimchan, you see a horse and chariot, people much more numerous than you, lo tira mehem, you should not be afraid of them, ki Hashem elkech imach, Hashem, your God is with you, hamalcha meretz Mitzrayim, who takes you up from the land of Egypt, v'haya ki kavrecham el ha-mechama, will be when you come close to the war, v'nigash ha-kohen v'dibra alam, so there's a special kohen who comes, and he encourages the people when they are prepared to go out to the battle, v'amar aleihem, and he says to them, Shema Yisrael, that's Perachof Pasuk Gimel. Hear, O Israel, so it's not what you would think. Atem Kravim Hayam Lemechama. Hear, O Israel, you are going today to come close to war. Alei Vechem, against your enemies. Al Yerach Levavchem, don't let your heart melt. Don't let your heart be soft. Al Tira'u, do not be afraid. Va'al Techabzu, Va'al Tartzu B'pneim. Don't panic, don't break down before them. Hashem, your God, is with you to fight with you against your enemies, to save you. Oh, it's a Pasuk that ends the Tvila L'chayali Tzahal, actually. Ki Hashem Elkechem Ha'olechim Echem. The Torah doesn't say v'nomer amen. That's not the end of the pasuk in the Chumash. Okay, so the Kohen comes close and he says, when you go to war, he begins with the word Shema Yisrael. So of course Shema Yisrael is very evocative of the more famous Shema Yisrael, which is Perek Vav, pasuk Hey, of the book of Devarim. So what is the Shema Yisrael? Why is the Kohen Hanigash al HaMelchama be mechazik the people starting with Shema Yisrael? So Rashi says, Afilu ein bachem zchus ela kriya Shema bilvad, kedai atem sheyoshia eschem. Why does the Kohen begin by saying, you're going out to war, hear, O Israel, don't be afraid, don't break down, don't panic, don't melt, God is with you. Because even if you don't have any zchuyo, afilu ein bachem zchus, you don't have any zchus for Hashem to save you, you don't have any merits for God to save you, ela kriya Shema Bavad, only the fact that you recite the Kriya Shema, this tenet of our faith, here, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one, Kidai Atem Sheyoshia Eschem, you are worthy that Hashem will save you in that merit. Okay. But why am I beginning here? Because my thanks to Shoshana Lawrence of Woodmere, New York, for sending me a daily clip of Rav Meili Melech Biderman on Chanukah. It was 2.5 minutes, and as much as I love Rav Meili Biderman's clips, and I really do, I just don't have time. I haven't been watching them anymore. So she said to me, she said, I thought you would appreciate this if you haven't seen it. So you saw it? Is that why you're smiling? Okay, so I saw it, and it really, I'm going to tell it over, and it really reminded me, and that's where I began here in Devarim. Rav Meilich does not mention this pasuk in Devarim, but it is very relevant to his teaching. The Kohen HaNigash Al HaMechama, the priest who is in charge of rousing the troops before battle, begins his speech with Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, says Rashi, even if you don't have any other merits, the recitation of the Shema Yisrael alone is enough to save you. So Rav Meilich Biderman questions why Chanukah is called Chanukah. So we know it's called Chanukah because B'chav Hei Kislev Chanu. It's called Chanukah because in the word Chanukah, Chanu Chavhei, they rested on the 25th. So Rav Meilich Biderman says, so what? Pesach is called after the miracle. Hashem passed over the Jewish homes that had the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. Sukkos is called after the booths. Kibas Sukkos so Shavtis B'nei Yisrael Bo Tzeisi Sa'am Mitzrayim. Shavuos is called after the weeks that we count from Pesach until Shavuos. So they're all called after the miracle or event that we commemorate on that one of the Shalosh Regalim. So why is Chanukah called after a date? Chanu Chavhei. So Rav Meilich presents something very, very interesting. And he says, Chanu Chavhei, they rested because of the 25th. Chanu Chavhei, they rested because of 25. In the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu, Shema Echad, there are 25 letters. In Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, so if you actually go to your Chumash, in Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, and you count, which I did, there are 25 letters. Shema is 3, Yisrael is 5, Hashem is 4, Elokeinu 6, Hashem another four, echad, three, you add it up, they get to 25 veras. So he says, very similar to what that Rashi in Devarim Perichav, Pasuk Gimel, he says, the chashmonaim are kohanim. They didn't have time for learning. They didn't have time for their avodas Hashem. They didn't have time for the avodas Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash was ruined. All they had time for, they were warriors at that time, they were kohanim, but they didn't have time to sit in shteig, and they didn't have time for kol, and they didn't have time for chesed. They had time for nothing except for fighting the Hellenists and the Yavanim who were trying to destroy Judaism. The only thing they had time for was Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, the recitation of the tenet of our faith, that they believed in the Ribono Shel Olam. They maintained their amuna in the darkest, in one of the darkest spiritual times our nation has ever gone. That alone was enough to save them. And how much it reflects the Rashi that we just learned from Parsha Shoftim, Ki Seisei Lamechama Aleivecha Ve'Isa Sus V'Rechav Am Rav Mimcha Lo Tira Mehem. Why Shema Yisrael? If you only remember that God, the Lord is God, the Lord is one, this is enough for the Ribono Shel to save us. So Chanu Chav Hei, says Rav Meilech, they rested because of the 25 letters of the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Even though they didn't have time for anything else, they always remember. They said constantly, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one, and in this merit, the Ribono Shel Olam saved them. So I thank Shana Lawrence for sending that to me and saying, maybe you didn't see it. I think you would appreciate it. I did appreciate it, and I'm a Zocha here to tell it over with you, and I thought it was very beautiful. Okay, I now want to go to, with that as our introduction to Shir tonight, I want to go to a tremendous, brilliant, beautiful piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Alevracha. It's called It's Dark Outside. Okay? And this was, it always gives the date of when this drush, on when his drushos were given. Okay? And it's very important to look at the date because they're really a window into history and to see the goings on in the world at that time. The drushos are very often connected to something that's happening in the world at that time. So this was presented or prepared December 6, 1975. Okay? 1 year before I was born. December 6, 1975. And it is in reference to the fallout from the oil embargo. So I'll be honest, I didn't go look up online exactly what the details of the oil embargo and the crisis were. I'm saying the truth. I was having a hard enough time chopping the chiddush that he brings, and I was very happy when I got it. The author, it took me a while. The author is referring to the fallout from the oil embargo that began in 1973, during which time the Arab nations refused to sell oil to the United States due to its support of Israel during the Yom Kippur War. Okay, if you want to know more, Google it. I did not. Maybe some of you remember. Okay. What does a Jew do when it's dark outside? And again, this isn't just the Stam Hanukkah Shir, which would also be very nice. It's specifically related to the theme of Sha'arei, which is really our underlying theme of this whole class, is really Amunah. And Amunah is really finding Hashem in the very darkest times of life. And this piece that we're going to read and expand upon is related to our topic very much. What does a Jew do when it's dark outside? It is better, goes an old saying, to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Did anyone ever hear of that? Maybe it was a saying in 1975. You have heard of it? No? Yes? I never heard of it. Malki Sultan is saying yes. A copy of Susan is saying yes. Oh, okay, fine. Interesting. It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So I think, like, translate into, it's better to focus on the positivity and the light in life than to spend our time cursing the choshach and the darkness in our life. Judaism has institutionalized this wise insight. So we knew about this long before the Umas HaOlam came up with this expression. The Gemara Masecha Shabbos, Chof Aleph, Amar Aleph, okay, teaches the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles is Misha Tishka Hachama. When do we light Chanukah candles? It can't be when it's light outside. Misha Tishka Hachama, the sun has to set. The Chanukah light has no function during the daytime. When the sun shines, there is no need for the light of candles. And you have the sun. And again, you understand right away, the Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam is talking about a metaphor here for life. He's not only talking about the halachic requirement to light the candles, Misha Tishka Hachama, from the time the sun sets, but he is talking on a much deeper level of when do we need to bring light into our lives, and that is when it is very dark. The Chanukah light has no function during the daytime. When the sun shines, there is no need for candles. When things, and right away, when I was preparing this year, again, I never learned this drasha before. I never actually saw this drasha before. And it's so beautiful, and it's so relevant to this year. I wanted to, I thought it was appropriate to prepare something special in honor of Hanukkah since it's the fourth night, but I also wanted it to be related to the topic of our Shir series here. Nancy, for the first time, you truly understand the Hanukkah miracle. Baruch Hashem. Keep it up. When the sun shines, there is no need for candles. When things are going well, faith does not represent a particularly great achievement. Listen to that sentence again. When things are going well, faith does not represent a particularly great achievement. Do you understand? It relates a lot to the past two classes that we have had. The mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candle applies only when it's dark outside. That's the halacha. It has to be dark outside. It is easy to answer Baruch Hashem when asked how you are, when you are basking in the sunshine of good fortune. Remember last two times we learned that when you're sailing on the ship, sometimes it's clear waters, and sometimes it's a little choppy, and then sometimes you get to the storms of life. It's easy to answer Baruch Hashem, thank God, when asked how you are, if you're basking in the sunshine of good fortune. It's infinitely more difficult to say Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, or recite the blessing of Baruch Dayan HaEmet, blessed is the true judge, which is recited upon tragedy. When black clouds have darkened the light in your life and you are in deep gloom. So when is there a need for light? There's a need for light when it's dark. And that's all represented in the Chanukah Licht. Chanukah Licht. When do we light Chanukah Licht? Mishatishka HaChama. When the sun sets in your life, that's when you need the Chanukah candles. So on these dark days, Judaism does not despair, but rather we light the candles. I am not offering any cheap consolations, which I also thought was relevant because the past two classes we learned, don't offer your friend cheap consolations. It's not going to help in the hard times. An online listener reached out to me, so she said, you know, so what should you say to someone who's, you know, going through surgery, you know, they're having a hard time, if you shouldn't say everything will be okay. So I said, really, we can't guarantee that. I'm praying for you. You should have strength. Hashem should guide the doctor's hand, but you can't really guarantee somebody else's outcome. I am not offering cheap consolations. I do not underestimate the gravity of the situation. Again, whatever was happening with this oil embargo in 1975 as a result of the Yom Kippur War is clearly some sort of perhaps financial and political crisis. I do not underestimate the gravity of the situation, although I believe it's not as terrible as most of us feel. Okay? And it's just, they're not edited. The history is not edited out of these Joshuas, and it's really fascinating. But I believe that 3,500 years of experience in the course of our history should have taught us something about how we act and how we react when it's dark outside. So what is the Jewish reaction to Choshech? The spiritual alternative, which is implied in the idea of the Hanukkah candles, is not meant to be exclusive. So he's going to now say, the idea of Hanukkah candles, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Listen, I am not recommending all Jews pull inwards and we turn our backs on the whole world. Diplomacy, security, economics, politics, production must continue on the highest possible level. We are people who live in this world, God put us in this world, and we must interact with the people around us. But the spiritual dimension of our lives must be enhanced while we live in this world. Jews have learned throughout history that when life is difficult on the outside, you must build up your inner resources. Chazak va'amatz, kaveh el Hashem, hope to God. Chazak v'yameis libecha, harden and strengthen your heart, fortify and strengthen your heart. V'kaveh el Hashem, 27:14 to Tehillim. We have to fortify ourselves when the world outside is very dark. Jews have learned throughout history that when life is difficult on the outside, you must build up your inner resources and fortify. The spiritual aspects of your existence. When the sun sets in life, there is one imperative, Neros Chanukah. When it's dark outside, it's time to light a candle. How do we do this? And where do we light the Chanukah Licht? So what is the halacha? The Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amid Beis, where do we light? My daughter sent me, she's in seminary this year, Kanani, and she sent me, they walked around Har Nof, and she sent me all different pictures of Har Nof and Chanukah, and all of the outside menorahs and the boxes by the entranceways to the apartment buildings, the stacks of menorahs, and on the ledges, and it's just So ideally, we let outside the accepted custom in Galus and Chutz La'aretz is to light indoors. Where indoors do we light the menorah? How do you go about it? Where do you light the candles? The Gemara states in Masech HaShabbos Chaf Aleph Beis, Mitzvah lahanichal al Pesach beiso mibachutz. Mitzvah lahanich al Pesach beiso mibachutz. My dad said she bought a menorah. She said that it's attached to the box. I don't remember what I did in seminary. Does anyone else remember? I literally have no idea. But I don't think I bought a box to light outside. But she said the bottom of the box has the menorah built in, you know? Yeah, so like you can't take the menorah out. It's built into the box. So it's in the bottom and you light there. So the mamish, what?
It's meant to be outside.
Right. Mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beiso mibachutz. It's a mitzvah to put the menorah al Pesach beiso by the entrance to your house on the outside. Uvisha'as ha-sakana, however, the Gemara says, b'sha'as sakana, which is a time of danger, manicha al shulchano v'dayo. What do you do in a time of sakana? Where are you supposed to put it? You bring it inside, maniach al shulchano v'dayo. You put it on your table, and that's enough. So now there's not going to be pursume nisa outside in a shas sakana, in a time of danger. Where will the pursume nisa be? Only
inside.
All right. So it was rushed tonight. A lot of people had to get to a lot of places in my house. When the kids get older, everyone's on a different schedule. So my husband had the shul Chanukah Masiba. I had a shir before this. My other son had the yeshiva Chanukah Masiba. My eldest son was going to our friends for Chanukah Masiba, whatever. People were all over. So we all couldn't light at the same time tonight. So when my eldest came home from work here today, right before our dinner, so he said, one son's learning, he said, could you be my persuma nes? What did he say? The persuma nes, he said. He said, this one's busy, could you come? There has to be one person watching for the persuma nisa. So if it's a time of tranquility, it's a mitzvah to light it by the entrance to your house outside. If it's a time of sakana, time of danger, you should put it on your shulchan v'dayu. It's enough. You put it inside your home on your shulchan and it's enough. That's the halacha. Preferably, you should place the Chanukah menorah at the entrance of the home. On the outside, the miracle of Chanukah and the persuma nisa is not only for Jews. It's not like Pesach and it's not like Purim, where we read Megillah and we have the Seder and we keep the mitzvos inside. Chanukah is dafka outside, so everyone should see the miracle. However, even during the Babylonian period, this is very interesting. What Shas Sakana were they referring to? While the Talmud was still being written, the Zoroastrian religion.
Zoroastrian.
Oh, thank you. Zoroastrian religion? How do you know about this?
Because I had a patient who, that was her religion, and I went to go look it up. It was...
They still have it?
Yes. Years ago. I remember, I never heard of it. Yeah.
What did she do during the conversation?
I'll tell you what he writes about it. Okay.
I just remember looking at this is over 10, 15 years ago. And I looked it up. That was her religion.
Zoroastrian?
Yeah.
Okay, so during the Babylonian period, the Zoroastrian religion prevailed. They were fire worshippers. And they forbid all non-believers to light torches or candles during the winter equinox. Their religion was fire worship, so they forbid anyone else from lighting candles. Since this was prohibited under the threat of death, the Rabbanim said you could light the menorah indoors, placing it on your table, and that is sufficient. So there you go. I wonder if they still today worship fire.
There's a lot of it's
mamish. Wow. I didn't think anyone would correct me on that word. The other words, maybe. But Zoroastrian, that you knew that, Shani, that's like Lamala Minateva. It is our major mission as Jews to light candles for the entire world. It should be Pesach Beiso Mibachutz, at the entrance of the home, on the outside. But if the whole chutz, the entire world, has turned anti-Semitic and has institutionalized Jew hatred, in one organization, today you have BDS, you have other organizations that I won't mention that are full of Jew hatred. And if it is the time is declared a sakana for the Jew to hold aloft his Chanukah menorah outside, even if the world is dark outside, we do not stop bringing light to our world. We make it light and we make it warm al shulchano. Bring it inside your house. By the way, shulchan is a contraction. You know my fascination with Lashon HaKodesh. Shulchan is a contraction of two words. It's very easy. Shall chain. Okay? Chain is charm. Ooh, perhaps that's another reason, another connection between Chanukah and Yosef. Yosef is one of the few biblical personalities who has this charm or this chain, like Esther, Malka, Abdram. And Yosef is always read on the time of the Chanukah miracle. And if there's a sakana outside, like there was facing Yosef, then you have to bring it inside al shulchano shal chain. So you bring the chain, the charm, the allure, the power of the Chanukah licht inside your own home. If the outside world, says Rabbi Dr. Norman, that makes a virtue of darkness. When they make a virtue of darkness, and today the outside world mamish makes a virtue of darkness. The most depraved immorality is virtuous today, and aggressively pursues a policy of forbidding light. We shall remove the nair from the outdoors, and we place it on our shulchan, on our table. We will still have light in our lives, despite the edicts of the Ummah Sa'uma, despite their ways and their morality. Let the table become the place where we fashion the light of our families. Let the shtender of the academy become the place where we study Torah, the foundry where young souls and personalities are formed, the source from which light will infuse our lives. If on the outside we are plagued by enemies who bear us hatred, I don't know, I just saw quickly, there's been a spate of anti-Semitic attacks, I don't know if you saw, all over in many different places on these first days of Hanukkah. I saw that some firm Jews were on a bus in England. Did anyone see? I just saw it tonight quickly, yeah? So on a bus in England, they were going to a Hanukkah party and they were attacked, anti-Semitic slurs, Hail Hitler salute was being done. If on the outside we are plagued by enemies who bear us hatred, then let us bring the light inside. Let us increase our love and our concern for each other. Let husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors draw close together. Maniach al shulchano v'dayo. Let people forgive each other. Act with more mutual respect and more patience. Halavai, could you imagine how much better Am Yisrael and the world would be if we could somehow live by these teachings? If on the outside we find that people betray us, on the inside, let's do the reverse. Let's act with greater loyalty to our own people, because who do we have if not each other? This isn't the chiddush yet that I couldn't get. I'm not there. If on the outside hypocrisy prevails in the world, then on the inside let the truth shine. Let us study Torah and practice Ahavas Yisrael. I was considering skipping the next part, but I didn't think it really related so much to the topic. But again, it's a window in history. And I thought it was relevant to tell over because there are, Rahman al-Tzan, so many victims to terrorism, and sometimes we forget. 2 weeks ago Friday, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, again, this is December 75, I woke up in my hotel room in Jerusalem and turned on the radio. The news was traumatic. It informed us that during the night, Palestinian terrorists had broken into a yeshiva in an isolated area, Ramah Magshimim. And they murdered three 19-year-old students, 1975. It was an especially devastating piece of news for me. All three who were murdered were classmates of one of my sons when we lived in Israel several years ago. I'm sure you all know that a week and a half ago, Eli Kay was murdered on his way down to the Kosel, 26 years old. One young man, Shlomo Mocha, had been captured by the guerrillas and wounded in the head, and the murderers intended to take him to Syria and kidnap him, but he escaped. It was he who survived who told the story of the attack and what happened. Listen carefully. That Saturday night, that Motzei Shabbat, the television news informed us that the TV interviewer had gone to Ramat Magshimim to look for an interview, Shlomo Mocha, the survivor. Excuse me. What?
I have water with me.
Thank you. I think I'm okay. Like, you know when you feel like something gets stuck? But I'm not even eating anything. Okay. He was not found to be in the office of the settlement. Where was this survivor? Where, the TV man inquired, could he find the young man? Was he perhaps in the hospital recuperating from his wounds? No. Shlomo was not in the hospital. Had he gone home to the warmth of his friends and the bosom of his family? No, he was not. Oh, thank you so much. Where did that come from? I didn't know there was
a kitchen there.
I did not know. Thank you. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvaro. Thank you. Was he in the office? No. Was he in the hospital recuperating? No. Was he with his family? No. Had his parents taken him on vacation to recover from trauma? No. Where was he? The TV interviewer found him where?
In the basement.
That's exactly right. In the Beit Midrash, in the study hall, studying Torah. What was he doing there? And he said, quote, "I and my friends came here to study Torah. They were killed, but had they lived, they would be doing this with me. So now I am studying for them too." The interviewer looked at the camera and told his audience with begrudging incredulity. Incredulity?
Incredulity.
Huh? Disbelief. With begrudging disbelief. I said it so wrong, you don't even know what word I'm saying.
No, you're like incredulous. You were incredulous, but you're using belief.
Okay, I'm just going to stick with disbelief because I don't want to ruin the story. The interviewer looked at the camera and told the audience with begrudging disbelief, "Zehu ko'ach shel Torah." This is the power of Torah.
How do you spell the name? Mocha, M-O-L-C-H-O?
M-O-C-H-A, like mocha. Like coffee.
Because I just was in Israel and I was on the street and it's called Shlomo Malko. I thought it was Shlomo HaMelech, but maybe it's after this.
That's so cool.
Now I have to go find out.
Tell Nancy it's a second Hanukkah miracle.
What did he say?
Tell Nancy it's a second Hanukkah miracle.
The street was Shlomo Malko.
Where was it?
In Yerushalayim, there's a street in Rechavia Shlomo Malka, off Rechav Javitinsky. And you thought it was like Shlomo Melech, but it's not.
I'm saying, what it must be, maybe named after this.
That's very, very cool. So he survived the attack, and where could he be found? If you look it up, let me know exactly how they spell last name. In the Beit Midrash, because he said, "Me and my friends came here to study Torah, and they were murdered. But had they not been murdered, they would have been studying Torah along with me. When it's very dark outside, we must kindle a light inside. Indeed, when it's dark outside, and it's dangerous to light candles, b'chutz, outside, then maniach al shulchano v'dayo, put it on your table, excuse me, and that's sufficient. We shall create and illuminate an enlightened world within." And now we come to a big chesh. Permit me to add one more item for your consideration concerning the gravity of our situation. Again, he's talking about this crisis of the oil embargo. This too deals with Hanukkah and is a point that I take quite seriously. Ready? Okay. Actually, I'm going to screen share, which I wasn't even planning to do, but I'm going to show it to you on the screen. There we go. I know, you could just, the people here just listen. I wasn't even planning to screen share. Where is it? Do you see that it says Shabbos 21b here? Okay, so there's a machlokas in the Gemara, which you might be aware of. Hanukkah, besides for standing for Chanu Chavhei, they rested because of the 25 letters of the Kriya Shema. Don't forget a first insight of a Melech Biderman. It also stands for, it's an acronym, Ches Neiros V'Halacha Kabeis Hillel. Okay, Ches Neiros V'Halacha Kabeis Hillel. We light 8 candles, and the law is like Beis Hillel. What does that mean? So Tanu Rabbanan, let me just make it bigger for the people on Zoom so you could see. I'm going to the bottom part of the Gemara right here. Tanu Rabbanan, how do you... Oh, it's not... Yes, it's right here. Okay, what's the Mahadran min a Mahadran way to light Hanukkah candles? Beis Shammai Omrim. What does Beis Shammai say? Who knows? What does Beis Shammai say? Yeah.
You start with 8 and then you go down.
Beis Shammai says you start with 8 and you go down to 1. And what does Beis Hillel say? Yeah, Joanna, your hand was also
you
up.
You start with 1 and then you increase each.
Beis Hillel says you go from 1 to 8, which is what we do. Chas Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. We begin with 1 and we go up to 8. Beis Shammai says you start with 8 and go down to 1. So you see that right here in the Gemara. Beis Shammai Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. Beis Shammai says, on the first day you light 8, mikan ve'elech, from here on, meaning with each passing day, poches v'holech, every day it's pachos, it's less, you start with 8, and every day, says Beis Shammai, it's less, until on the last day you'll be lighting 1. Everybody here knows that that's not what we do. Beis Hillel omrim, and Beis Hillel says, yom rishon madlig achas, on the first day, which is what we do, you light 1, mikan ve'elech, mosif v'holech, from here on you go up. So this is a very famous machloka, Shabbos Chav Alav Amid Beis, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Again, you really need your thinking caps, or maybe you're going to get a chapa faster than me. It was a little bit hard for me to, I don't know why, to understand what he was saying, but it's so tremendous. Beis Shammai says, on the first day you light 8, on the last day you light 1. Beis Hillel says, on the first day you light 1, on the last day you light 8. We do like Beis Hillel, Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. We begin with 1, we end with 8. Good? We all know the classic controversy, continues Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai concerning the lighting of the candles. The house of Shammai teaches we begin with 8 candles and we diminish each day by 1 candle. The house of Hillel teaches we begin with 1 candle and each day we add another until we reach 8. That's how we light. However, what is the underlying theme of this controversy? One of the greatest and most beloved of all Hasidic teachers, the Apta Rav, Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel, known as the Ohev Yisrael, explains as follows. Pay attention. I know it's 9 o'clock, but you need to listen. Consider the first menorah in the time of the Maccabim. Okay? Actually, I'm going back to screen share because what does... Where is it? Did I close the... Here it is. It's right here. What does the Gemara tell us about that little flask of oil that they found? Oh, it's right here. What does the Gemara tell us about that little flask of oil? What? Okay, so the Gemara tells us when Kishagavra Malchus Beis Chashmona Ivinatzchum Badkum V'lo Matzu Ala Pach Echad Shal Shaman, they only found Esti Klein Pach Chav Sofis. When the Malchus Beis Chashmonai were victorious, they checked and they only found 1 pach of shemen, 1 flask of oil, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. There was only enough to light for 1 day. A miracle was done in it. And what was the nes? From that little 1 flask of oil, there was only enough to burn for 1 day. They lit for 8 nights. It lasted for 8 nights. And the next year, they established the holiday of Halavodah. So this is 2 different teachings on Masechah Shabbos Chaf Alav Amad Beis. 1, the Mechokas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Shammai, we go from 8 down to 1. Beis Hillel, we go from 1 up to 8. Furthermore, what was the miracle? There was 1 little flask of oil. Lo hayabo ela lahadlik yom echad. There was only enough to light for 1 day. Naase bonis, a miracle was done in it. Excuse me, meaning in that little bit of oil, and they live from it for 8 days. Okay, going back to the Apta Rav, the Ohev Yisrael. Consider the menorah in the time of the Maccabim, the one in which the miracle was performed. With each, please listen, with each successive day that the flame continued in the menorah, although there was insufficient oil to support it, the miracle seemed greater and greater. So it wasn't such a great miracle that it burned on the first night. Why not? Because there was oil for the first night. And you know, sometimes, did it ever happen to you? Sometimes it happens that your Chanukah licht burns for like hours and hours, that sometimes they all burn out and there's one remaining one that burns for so many hours. And you think like, whoa, mind the time of the Chashmonaim 2,100 years ago. So on the second night, it also, it's a miracle. But okay, I could hear it goes from 1 to 2. It's still burning. Third night, fourth night, fifth night, with each successive night, our appreciation of the miracle is increasing. With each successive day, the flame continued in the menorah, although there was no oil to support it. The miracle seemed greater and greater. If on the second day the miracle seemed impressive, wow, it's still burning from day one. Then on the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day, it seemed even more amazing. How could it still be burning? On the seventh day, it was almost incredible. The menorah is still burning, exclamation mark. On the eighth day, the miracle reached its overwhelming climax. For 1 day's oil had already lasted for 8 days. Are we with me so far? Hence, insofar as our perception, so look, when I was learning this, I have notes over here, I have notes over here, I have notes over here. So maybe you're going to get it faster than me, and then you're going to think, Michal, what's the big deal? But it was really a chiddush. I never learned this before, and I don't know, I was having trouble hopping. Insofar as our perception of the miracle occurred, every day is greater. Yes, we perceive that every day the miracle increases. It's not. It wasn't a miracle at all. It was a miracle of teva. I know we spoke about the Ramban and the Parshas Bo, the Meshach Chachma, beginning of Bichu Kosai. It was teva though. We know teva is a miracle, but the first day was barely a miracle at all. Why? And it was oil for one day. That's how Hashem runs the world. The second day, wow, this is really cool. What's going on here? The third day, this is very interesting. The sixth day, the seventh day, oh my God, this is off the charts. Unbelievable. Our perception of the miracle increased with each passing day. Yes? This is so brilliant. This is mamish, so brilliant. However, the miracle itself took exactly the reversed course. Our perception of the miracle is that it increased with time. The miracle itself took the reverse course. Only a drop of oil was left after the first day, correct? And that had to support 8 days worth of a miracle. Thus, on the second day, the oil had to support 6 more days of light. A truly Herculean task. One drop of oil had to support 6 days of light. That's a Herculean task. On the fourth day, which is tonight, it only had to support 4 more days of light. It's a miracle, but it's not quite the same as the proportion of supporting 6 days on the second night. On the eighth day, the miracle was there. A day's worth of light coming from a drop of oil. But the miracle was quantitatively much smaller than the first day, when it had to stretch for 8 days of light. Hence, the house of Shammai follows the reality of the miracle. So I know you're getting it because you're smiling. So either you're smarter than me or I'm doing a good job of explaining it.
No, you're doing a great job explaining it.
Thank you. It was very hard in preparing. This year was really hard for me. Like my notes and my notes and my notes and my notes. I don't know. I couldn't get it. But then I got it. The house of Shammai follows the reality of the miracle. So for those who don't hop yet, because I see some of your faces. It's okay. It took me longer than 1 minute. The perception of the miracle is that the miracle is greater with each passing day. Oh my God, it's still burning on day 6, 7, 8. The miracle is huge. But the reality is, I'm going to my own notes. Beis Shammai says the miracle is actually decreasing. It was a greater miracle. It was a bigger miracle, a harder miracle, when one drop of oil had to sustain the next 7 nights than when one drop of oil had to sustain 1 night. Towards the end of Hanukkah, there was one drop of oil. One drop of oil had to burn for 1 more night. It's not the same as one drop of oil having to burn for 6 more nights.
But nobody knew that it was going to burn for 8.
You're right. Okay. So our perception is that the miracle increases, but the reality is that the miracle is decreasing. Again, Beis Hillel. Again, Beis Hillel, you increase from 1 to 8. Beis Shammai, you decrease from 8 to 1. I'm going to say a tefillah that the Ribbono Shel Olam should help me explain this well, and that you, he should help you. And you should chop it, because it's a tremendously geshmak chirash. Like my Yeshiva Bachar San says, it's not shayach. Our perception of the miracle increases with each passing day. Whoa, the oil's still burning on day 2. Wasn't so well. Maybe I bought like a defective lamp and it's still burning. Okay. Day 3, it's still burning. Day 4, it's still burning. Day 5, it's still burning. Day 8, it's still burning. This is lamala min hateva. My perception of the miracle is much greater. Do you understand that part?
Yes.
What? You don't understand that part?
That I do.
Yeah. Okay, so Beis Shammai, let me repeat it again. Beis Shammai says, the miracle took the reverse course. The miracle actually diminished in greatness. Only a drop of oil was left after the first day. That had to support 8 days worth of light. One drop of oil. How's it going to support 8 more days? But on the second night, one drop of oil had to support 6 more days. And on the third day, a drop of oil had to support 5 days. And by the time it got to the last night, one drop of oil had to support 1 more day. That's not as great a miracle. Okay. It's just not as great a miracle. For a drop of oil to support 1 night, it's not the same miracle as a drop of oil supporting 8 nights. I could maybe somehow hear that a drop of oil could support 1 night, but how could a drop of oil support 8 nights?
Okay.
So therefore, the miracle itself, our perception is different than the reality. The miracle itself took the reverse course. A drop of oil was left after the first day. Listen again. That had to support 8 days worth of a miracle. On the second day, the oil had to support 6 days of light. Herculean task. On the fourth day, it had to support 4 more days. A miracle, but not the same as on the first day. On the eighth day, the miracle was still there, but it was quantitatively much smaller. Because one drop of oil only had to support one day. Hence, the house of Shammai follows the reality of the miracle, which decreased with every day. The greatness of the miracle decreased with every day. It's a lesser miracle for one drop of oil to support one night than for one drop of oil to support six nights. So the house of Shammai follows the reality of the miracle. Well, the house of Hillel reflects our perception of the miracle.
Or maybe it's our appreciation.
Say it again.
Maybe it's our appreciation of the miracle. Like maybe we just appreciated the miracle each morning, each night, rather than the perception of how great the miracle is.
Okay.
Because even on the eighth day, you know that in the beginning there was just a little bit of oil and it was less than the 8 days.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like I appreciated the magnitude of the miracle, even though the physical reality was that that one drop was not sustaining so much more time. My appreciation for everything that passed.
Okay, let's. Okay, let me go.
I want to take a punch.
Base Hillel is we perceive the miracle increasing, which is our perception. But Base Shammai says, actually, in reality, the miracle is decreasing. So Base Shammai therefore says you start with 8 and go down to 1 because the miracle is decreasing. It's less of a miracle for a small amount of oil to support one night than for a small amount of oil to support 6 nights. Base Hillel says we go up because we perceive a greater miracle. What does this have to do with Amunah and all of us? When we are in the depths of gloom, when the light seems the smallest, that's Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, when the light seems the smallest and there seems to be no hope, then summer God is preparing the greatest miracles for Israel. When the miracle seems, when we perceive the miracle is the smallest, the reality is that the miracle is the greatest. When we perceive the smallest amount of light, hope, koach, clarity, salvation, when we perceive the darkest time, that's when the miracle is actually the greatest. Our perception and the reality are inversely related. The perception is the miracle increased. The reality is the miracle decreased. So when we in life perceive to be in the darkest times of life, that's actually when we have the most potential for greatness and God is preparing the greatest salvation. When we perceive that things are going so well, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, and life is brightest, that's when you have to beware of the future. When we are most conscious of the wonders of salvation, we must beware of the future. But we're in the depths of gloom, and you see no reason for light or confidence, we may be sure that deep, deep someplace, God is preparing the greatest miracles for Israel. So hence, here we go. When we perceive the greatest light on the greatest night, which we call day 8, that's actually the smallest amount of light and the smallest miracle. On day 8, we perceive the greatest nace. But how much oil was actually left? A drop, and it had to sustain one day. So we perceive a great miracle. But that's when the miracle is at its lowest ebb. And when we perceive the least light, the least miracle, when we perceive this miracle, which is day 1, we perceive the least degree of miracle on day 1. That's when actually the miracle is at its greatest. One second. I'm going to say it again. When we perceive the greatest light, which according to Beis Hillel is day 8, we perceive the greatest light. Is it really the greatest or least reality of the miracle? It's the least amount of miracle. So sometimes when you see the greatest light in life, it's really not so great. I'll give you an example. Rabbi Dr. Lam doesn't say it. Yaakov going down to Egypt. He thought, I'm having a reunion with my son. This is such a wonderful time. The greatest amount of light and perception was really the beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim. However, when we perceive the least light, which is day 1, we don't think it's such a miracle on day 1, that's really when the miracle is greatest. Why? Because one flask of oil needed to support 8 nights, that's the greatest miracle. So we perceive different than the reality is. We may perceive light, and it could be a foreshadowing of dark. But we may perceive dark, and it's really a foreshadowing of the greatest light. If I'm not doing a good job of explaining, which I hope I am, This is in Drashot LeDorot Genesis, a commentary for the ages. It's dark outside, page 209 through page 215. And therefore, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, look at the time. I don't have time to finish the whole thing that I was hoping. In times such as these, and he's talking about 1975, but you could have still applied to our galus today, when there are few signs of salvation, when it is unbearably dark, when miracles are rare as they are necessary, miracles are both rare and necessary, at these times we must be confident that the divine will spins its own plot in the fiber of history, and a pattern far different from the designs conceived by mortal men. When we see the greatest, the most minute amount of a miracle, and we perceive the miracle is the least, day one, that's when the miracle is actually the greatest. When we perceive the smallest amount of light on day one, actually the miracle is the greatest, because one flask had to go for 8 days. And on day eight, when we perceive the most light, that's really when the miracle is the smallest. So what's the lesson for our lives? Which is what Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb is illustrating, and unfortunately I had to skip a lot of what I wanted to say. Because I still haven't figured out how to stop the clock. I would like to figure out how to be able to do that, but I haven't yet. What does that have to do with this class on Amunah? Everything. When we perceive the greatest darkness, it's actually Hashem preparing the greatest Yeshua. And so, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, it is mysterious, it is deep, and it is miraculous. And it is that darkness that leads to redemption. When it's the darkest outside, the lights are beginning to stir on the inside. And sooner or later, they will pierce the gloom of the outside world as well, because the Hanukkah candles herald the light of redemption. He gives an example. He tied it into the parsha and Yosef and the brothers, and it's so beautiful. I don't have time. I'm just going to say one thing. One example from modern history where things seemed dark, it seemed like there was the least amount of light, right? Day one is the least amount of light, so you think it's not a miracle at all. But really, says Beis Shammai, that's when there's the greatest miracle. The least amount of light is the greatest miracle, because that's when it had to burn the longest. So you only perceive a tiny miracle if you don't perceive a miracle at all. If there's teeny light, it's a lot of darkness. When you perceive a lot of darkness, that's when the miracle is greatest. That's when Hashem is preparing the Yeshua. So Beis Hillel goes according to our perception of the Nes. Beis Shammai goes according to the reality of the Nes. Take but one example from modern history. He went to the Parsha. It's such a beautiful connection to me, kids. I don't have time. I don't even have time for what I'm saying now. Great job, Malki Sultan. Okay, thank you. Take but one example from modern history. My book's totally marked up. I was really working through this. In 1947 or thereabouts, the British Foreign Secretary, Ernest Bevin, of unblessed memory, so it says, refused to allow 100,000 Jews who were displaced persons to enter Palestine. Just think of it. 100,000 straggling wrecks of humanity emerging from the Shoah, which consumes 6 million of our people, and the most civilized country on earth refused to allow them safe haven in Palestine. It was not only scandalous and outrageous, it was totally depressing. We felt abandoned, sunken, the greatest despair ever. We only saw a teeny flicker of light, if at all. We didn't think there was anything good in that light. When you see the smallest amount of light, though, it's really the greatest miracle, says Beis Shammai. Because from that minuscule amount of light, it has to support 8 days. By the time you see great light, day eight, it's not such an ace anymore, the reality is. Do you have it now? Yet from the perspective of years later, the greatest miracle was being wrought at the gloomiest moment. Had Bevin, of unblessed memory, permitted 100,000 Jews to come into Palestine, the pressure would have diminished for the founding of an independent Jewish state. Perhaps the state of Israel would never have been born a year later. Because he was stubborn, because the light was so small, because the perception was so terrible, Hashem was preparing the greatest Yeshua. This has everything to do with our class. This is what we learn all the time. This is what I'm trying to be mechazik myself, and I hope you along with me. From the deepest darkness, even though we don't understand it, from the greatest storms of life, we perceive a teeny amount of light. But the reality is that's where the greatest miracle is. Because he was stubborn, because he pressed us, and because he resisted from that oppression, from that pessimism, from our perception of a dark time, came forth the miracle of the state of Israel reborn. So once again, I'll take a question when I'm done, or comment. Beis Hillel says, Ma'alim b'kodesh ve'enan maridin. You go from 1 to 8. We perceive the miracle is much greater. On day 8, we have more light. Wow, it lasted for 8 nights. But Beis Shammai says, Mikan ve'elech pachos ve'olech, you decrease. Why? Beis Shammai talks about the reality of the nes. On day 1, it's much less of a miracle. No, on day 1, it's a much greater miracle. I said it wrong. On day 1, it's a much greater miracle. How could one flask burn for 8 nights? By the time you get to the 2nd to last night, it's a smaller miracle. I could understand. 1 drop of oil burns for 2 nights. And by the time you get to the last night, it's really a very small miracle. So what do you learn from here? When you see the smallest amount of light, Beis Hillel, night 1, when it seems the darkest, that's what? Hashem preparing the greatest nes. Do you understand the Chiddush? Does everyone on here chop with me? Yes, no, maybe some of you. And it's all about our lives. When you perceive the darkest time in your life, Hashem is preparing the greatest time. He relates it to Yosef and the brothers. Yosef is a Hanukkah Jew. The story of Yosef is always read by Hanukkah, and there's many reasons. But when the brothers present themselves to Yosef, they're at their lowest ebb. They're starving for food. They've lost Shimon 2 years ago. They're afraid Binyamin's going to be taken. Father's been in mourning for 22 years. They're at their darkest point. They perceive the biggest sorrow in life. But Yosef, because of his history, recognizes that Hashem is preparing the greatest Yeshua. Because of what he went through, when he was in the pit, when he was in the house of Potiphar, when he was in jail, when he was a viceroy all alone and isolated, he seemed to only see a teeny glimmer. It seems like the smallest nes, Beis Hillel, 1 night. But Beis Shammai says, no, that same night is actually the greatest aspect of the nes. Well, Yosef recognized their dilemma and understood that from this darkness would come the greatest Yeshua. So it's truly a very, very beautiful chiddush. It adds so much depth and meaning to the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And it adds a lot of depth and meaning and chizuk to, I think, the Torah we share together every week. Because this class is a he'amanti ki adaber. Anisi me'od. We say this every day in Hala. He'amanti ki adaber kol ha'adam kozev. We're struggling mightily in our learning together to find the Ribbono Shel Olam in the darkest times. But the Abba Rebbe says, when you perceive the least amount of light and the most darkness, that's when in reality it's the greatest amount of light and Hashem preparing the greatest degree of miracle. So we should be zocha that, we should be zocha to the Binyan Bayis Shlishi and the lighting of the menorah every night and the restoration of Geula. And we will be able to proclaim, V'haya b'yamu Yashem Echad u'shmo Echad. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to bring the Neiros Licht in. The whole world will accept the sovereignty of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You wanted to say something?
I had a question, but I think I just came up with my own answer.
Okay.
So we paskin according to Beis Hillel.
Correct.
So I know there's like this, we're not going to light menorah when Mashiach comes, but I think I remember hearing, I think maybe from you, that when Mashiach comes, we're going to go by Beis Shammai. So
that
I
what?
That when Mashiach comes, okay, we're going to hold by Beis Shammai. So I'm like, well, why do we hold by Beis Hillel? If the miracle is really greatest on the first day, okay, why don't we hold by Beis Shammai? Maybe we're just so broken and gullus, it's so hard to expect us to celebrate and see that miracle when there's still so much more to come. And then when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to appreciate it so much more. We won't be in that broken state. We'll have that ability to perceive
the reality more. So now we need the hope of the perception of the greatest miracle, even though the reality is different.
I think your average person, it's very hard to say that when they're in their darkest and they're at their lowest. It's very nice to learn about it.
Of course it's very hard to say. That's why we're learning for 7 years.
And I'm like, probably that's why we hold by Beis Hillel. Because
of course it's very hard to say.
You can't expect us. Right. It's more
that's true. It's
and
so
maybe that's why when Mashiach comes, we'll switch the other way. I don't know. But it's
okay.
Just like, okay.
Okay, so it is very hard. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us the koach and the clarity and the chachma bina das, not only to chap the chiddush, but to apply it to our everyday lives. B'soros tovus to all alich de gechanaka chag urim sameach mei the neshem of Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschai Misak, Allah al-Sham, mei continuously in the schus of the Torah. I wish you a good Shabbos, a happy Chanukah, and a gein chodesh to all. Thank you so much. Kol tov, everybody. Thank you.